KETE Monday afternoon. And of course, that means we talk to our good friend from the Minnesota News Network, sports director there and the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football and men's basketball, Mike Graham. And Mike, a good afternoon.
Hey, Aaron, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going well. How you been?
I cannot complain. I went right from a Friday to Monday, so I have no idea what happened over the weekend.
Well, let's talk about the game that you saw in person. We had the broadcast right here on a KETE. Let's start with our Golden Gopher football team. And, you know, every once in a while this kind of stuff happens. I did not get a chance to watch the game. I was out on the golf course all Saturday afternoon. I just saw the final score. Mike, give us your thoughts. A 14-10 loss to Bowling Green. What went wrong? What happened on Saturday?
Yeah, it was just a complete breakdown of just about everything on offense and special teams. The defense played well enough to win. The defense allowed less than 200 yards of total offense, just 28 rushing yards. Now, Bowling Green barely even attempted to run. They threw the ball all day, but the Gophers defended it well. Bowling Green was 3 of 14 on third down. Gophers kept forcing punts, and then the offense kept spun. And it was just one of those inexplicable days where, you know, I think when you and I talked last week, I mentioned, look, I think I like the idea that this game has fallen between, you know, a nice 30-0 win and getting back to the resumption of Big Ten play. Because human nature would tell you that, you know, there could be a little bit of a letdown with how big of a win that was on the road. I don't think people fully understood it. The emotion that was going on, which sometimes will drain you as well after the game with all the Gopher fans that were there. And so I was a little leery of that. But let me tell you, that said, I didn't think there was a letdown. I didn't think they played flat. They came out in the opening drive. They got in close to the red zone and then messed up and had to end up punting, believe it or not. And then it just got to the point where they got outplayed. Defensive line for Bowling Green just outplayed the Gopher offensive line. And at that point, they were in a ball game. And, you know, some weird things that they did. They roughed the punter on a play that I have no idea what was going on there. They lined up twice illegally on extra point and field goal attempts. Tanner Morgan was running for his life all day, to the point where I think they basically, as weird as it sounds, tried to, you know, basically abandon the pass game for a minute. So it was just a complete failure. And I don't know the answer. I've watched enough football over the years. Like you said, sometimes it happens, just it's not your day and different things. And because of that, I don't know why I've got this weird feeling that the Gophers are going to come out and have a response. They're going to come out and play well Saturday at Purdue, and I hope they do. But I don't know, and I can't break down exactly what in the world went wrong Saturday, because I thought that, you know, you could probably win that game if you brought your C game. You hope you don't bring the C game. But if you do, I think you could still win it, which is why I felt it fell at a good spot. Because obviously, if they'd have played like that at Purdue, they'd have lost, you know, 40-10 or something. But, you know, hopefully this is a bit of a wake up. Hopefully, you know, they'll get their cage rattled a little bit and they can salvage, you know, something positive from such a crummy day.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher football, again, 14-10 victory for a Bowling Green on Saturday. I assume the place was electric. I'm assuming before the game there was people everywhere with it being a homecoming celebration. And to me, that's kind of the weird part, too. Maybe it was a trap game with Bowling Green, but, Mike, you kind of figured with it being homecoming, alumni in town, a huge crowd making noise, you just don't expect those kind of things to happen.
Yeah, no, and the student section was sold out, which is great. That is, you know, that has been kind of an issue over the years. So you had a nice audience there that if you played well and, you know, put a beat down on Bowling Green, which people thought you would do, you know, you have probably lured a few more customers in, you know, for future games. But this certainly didn't help that matter. As far as the rest of the stadium, yeah, it was fine. I mean, it was a nice homecoming game. It was a good atmosphere to start. And then just the way that the game unfolded, it got to be, you know, as you would guess, fans were grumbling there by the end. You know, just nothing was going right.
Now, Mike, at least the football teams went 50-50 over the weekend. Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings. Right. They fall behind early to Seattle, 17-7. They end up winning a 30-17, the final at U.S. Bank Stadium. Did you get a chance to watch the game yesterday?
I was there. Yeah, I was. Okay. I covered for Minnesota News Network, so I was up in the press area. First time I had been back for a game with fans there since, you know, obviously since 2019. I was there for the opening game of 2020 when there was no fans, and it was very bizarre. And I ended up saying, you know what, I can cover that game from home because everything was on a Zoom anyway. So I only went to one last year. But I'm an in-person guy. I like to be there if I'm going to cover it and provide audio and stories for all of our affiliates like you guys. And so, yeah, I was there yesterday. It was a great atmosphere. It was unbelievably electric. I think the fans have kind of had some pent-up emotion, obviously, with the first 2 weeks not going the way you wanted, but you were right there to win them both. And then fans just not having a chance to be there and screaming and yelling, you know, for 2 years, basically. So it was a great atmosphere. And the team delivered. You know, the team ended up delivering. The defense, after a sluggish start, got really good. I mean, I think at one point, wasn't the first down for Seattle in the second half, like late in the fourth quarter, which is incredible. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a pretty good complete effort, really.
And that was the nice surprising part is the defense. I mean, they looked like Swiss cheese again early after a couple of weeks where the defense has been downright bad. And, you know, I was at the game yesterday too, and I'm thinking, you know, Mike Zimmer, defensive genius, he's got to figure out something really quick. And whatever adjustments they made, they kept Russell Wilson in check, you know, that second half. And DK Metcalf had a touchdown reception in the first half. You didn't hear much from him. Tyler Lockett was pretty quiet. So whatever adjustments they made, especially at halftime, kudos to Mike Zimmer, because we expect that from his kind of defense.
No doubt. And I also think you tip your caps to the offense. They held the ball for so long in that second half. They just wouldn't give it up. They had nice, long, extended drives that took some time. And so, you know, Russell Wilson, part of the reason was Russell just didn't have an opportunity. You know, the Vikings were really good in controlling the ball to the point at which I think at one point it was like in the second half the Vikings had 30 offensive plays and the Seahawks had 10, or maybe it was 40 and 10. It was a pretty wide disparity. And so, you know, the offense, I think, gets a tip of the cap that helped the defense by holding the ball and possessing it for so long.
And a lot of times, you know, when the Vikings lose, the criticism goes to a Kirk Cousins. But, man, oh, man. I mean, Mike, talk about his performance in the first 3 weeks. I mean, Cousins has reasons to have critics like he does, but I mean, he might be one of the best quarterbacks through 3 weeks of the NFL season. Yesterday was no exception. He even ran the ball, I think, for a few yards, had a nice bootleg, and you know, 3 weeks of the season, this is the best that I've seen Kirk Cousins play since he joined the Minnesota Vikings.
And you know, I've never been as down on Kirk as a lot of people have, mostly, and you and I have talked about this, mostly because I think expectations are shot through the roof compared to his, you know, everyone thinks because he makes so much money that he's, you know, he's got to be a top five quarterback in the league or a top three quarterback in the league. And that just, look, he is exactly who he is. When the Vikings hired him and signed him to the contract, they knew who they were getting, and fans needed to realize that. And quite frankly, if he continues to be the guy he's always been, he's going to have a couple of clunkers here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, right? You just that's the deal. But by and large, he's been pretty good here statistically. And you know, people always say, yeah, but a lot of those numbers have come late in games. Not really. If you really analyze it, it's easy to say. Like if you really don't follow it and just want to, you know, make some cheap comparison or something, or throw some stuff out to make him look worse. You know, they've had other issues over the years. Kicking has obviously been an issue. Occasionally defense has become an issue. But, you know, I think he's given them what they've asked for. And it's not Kirk Cousins' fault, one, that they signed him to that kind of money, or two, that it timed out right for him, that when he hit the free agent market, he was the best available quarterback, and the market dictates what you make. So I've always been a little leery of everyone who has trouble with him. And we all live in our own little world. So when your quarterback has a game or two that's no good, you think that, you know, he's the only one. Look around the league. There's a lot of teams that that have good, high-paid quarterbacks that on occasion are going to put clunkers out there. So, but to get back to your point, that was my soapbox for a minute. But to get back to your point, I thought, you know, he's had a great 3 weeks. You know, he put him in position to win last week at Arizona. You know, did exactly what he needed to do there. Perfectly run late drive, got him into a what should have been a gimme field goal for NFL standards. And the week before was basically driving them, you know, from a deficit. And his offensive line was putting him in third and 15s and second and 20s, you know, all day long. And he still was able to overcome that and put him in a position that, you know, barring a Dalvin Cook fumble, they probably win that game. You know, the margin of error is so small. You know, he, I think, has played well enough for this team to be 3-0, you know, and unfortunately there's been some other breakdowns that haven't allowed that, but I thought he was phenomenal yesterday.
Mike Grimm, our normal Monday guest here on Kate Radio, and, you know, Mike, looking ahead to Sunday, and I was joking with some friends yesterday, never thought the Cleveland Browns would be considered a hot ticket, a big game to go to, but on Sunday, it's going to be a lot of fun. Kevin Stefanski, of course, former offensive coordinator, now the head coach at Cleveland. You got Odell Beckham Jr., you got the running backs, you got Baker Mayfield. Cleveland is now a must-watch TV or must-watch game, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun at the bank coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. And they, you know, they've got an exciting team. They've got the connection with Stefanski, who was a longtime assistant here for the Vikings and, you know, had 1 year there as the offensive coordinator, and that was good enough to get him a head coaching opportunity. And he, frankly, walked into a pretty good situation. I mean, I think he has helped elevate that program because he seems organized. He seems like he's got a nice plan, all of that stuff. But he walked into a good situation. Look, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, there are certain times where teams, you know, the Kansas City Royals, the Houston Astros, Tampa Bay Rays, to use a baseball analogy, if you're bad long enough, you're going to accumulate enough good draft picks, you're going to have some talent out there. If it's coached right, you should win some games, and I think that's been the case with Cleveland. You know, they've had a top five pick, you know, what, for a decade straight, so yeah. You better start getting some talent in there, and they have that now. And I think they also have the coach that can keep them organized and focused, and they're pretty close to being 3-0. They probably should have won that opening week game against Kansas City, which, by the way, is also 1-2 now. And they're like the Vikings with some work yet to do. But, you know, yeah, this Cleveland game will be a good one. And I haven't seen it. Are the Vikings an underdog at home, or are they a slight favorite? I haven't checked.
You know, yesterday before the Seattle game, they were 2-point underdogs. But I haven't seen – I'm assuming the line maybe moved after the Vikings beat Seattle yesterday. But – should be a good one. Noon start at U.S. Bank Stadium coming up on Sunday. Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network Sports Director, voice of Golden Gopher football. And, Mike, let's talk about the WNBA. And maybe because it was on the weekend, I didn't even realize that the postseason had started for our Minnesota Lynx. They get beat. Their season is over. It was a single elimination. I talk about that, and what is the format now in the WNBA? Because to me, it was just weird that it was one and done. The Lynx had a great summer, but just like that, Chicago ends their season.
Well, I'm not a fan of the format. I don't know why in a league with which you're trying to grow and promote and why you would limit games. Like, to me, you'd want to make more postseason games, not less. So I'll start by saying, even had the Lynx won the game over Chicago last night, I would have said, well, there should be a series here. The Lynx are the third best team in the league. They had the 3 seed, and they get stuck in a one-game playoff against a team that had beaten them twice during the year, you know. And sometimes, you know, you just have that situation. So basically, there's 12 teams in the league. 8 make the playoffs. The bottom 4 have a one-game playoff. The winner of that, then, of those 2 games, go and play the 3 and the 4 seed in a one-game playoff. The winner of that then goes and plays the 1 and 2 seeds in a series to get to the finals. So they limited the number of games. I don't understand. Like, to me, if I were to, you know, if I were to do it, I would want to create some longer series to develop storylines to help promote the league.
Yep.
I don't know who came up with the idea. It's even like you know, the team knows the deal. The winning team moves on, and the Lynx weren't there. But I think they probably, you know, wish at least a best two out of three to give them life here to give them hope. But 1 and done, they're done. Chicago moves on, and the Lynx are out of postseason, like you said, after one round or one game at this point. So yeah, that was a little bit of a bummer as well.
Mike, one more topic for you before I let you go, because I know you follow golf closer than I do. Ryder Cup, USA 19, Europe 9. I'm assuming by that score we dominated, and that was a pretty impressive performance, I assume, by the U.S.
Yeah, unbelievable. I love the Ryder Cup. It's one of my favorite events. I love the Masters as well. I was fortunate enough to cover the Ryder Cup when it was here at Hazeltine in Chaska. I'm hoping that they keep me around for another few years to cover it again in 2028 when it comes back to Hazeltine. It's great drama. It's the only time where, you know, golf obviously is an individual sport. It's the one time where fans can cheer, can jeer. You have a partisan crowd. You have guys that don't like each other pulling for each other, and sometimes even on the same two-man team with each other. And there's just high drama. And these guys who, quite frankly, during a weekly event, look kind of like robots. When you see the emotion that they have because it's a team competition, you don't want to let your teammate down. You want to play well. And if you do play poorly, you want someone else there. You got someone else to pick you up, which, you know, in a normal weekly event, you play poorly, you're just done and you move on. But you play poorly and you're letting teammates down, the emotions get going. So I just think it's a wonderful event. I will watch that whenever it's on. So I did get to watch a lot of it over the weekend, took some time. I actually passed up watching some college football on Saturday afternoon once the Gopher game went so fast because Minnesota decided it didn't want to pass. We were off the air by like 2:45. So, I was home and watching golf and, frankly, wasn't in a great football mood at that point. So I watched golf and had a great time, and it was great, and I love the Ryder Cup. It was great. These young Americans, I think one, you probably tip your cap to Tiger Woods because he created this popularity in golf that these young, 4 and 5 year olds back in the day started to play golf because they liked him, and now these guys have come to fruition. I saw a little picture yesterday. This Scottie Scheffler, who beat Jon Rahm yesterday in the singles, he had a great Ryder Cup as a rookie. They were showing pictures of him in 2012, so 9 years ago, and he looked like he was about 9 years old. I think he was like 14. He's playing in the Junior Ryder Cup, and now all these years later, he's beating Jon Rahm in singles. And so it's just a cool storyline. But listen, these Americans, Shafley and Kepka and, Scheffler and who am I missing there? A bunch of guys that are, Justin Thomas and Colin Morikawa and, I'm missing DeChambeau. I mean, all these guys are young and good, and this is Europe's going to have some catch up to do here. It'll be fun. I think they're in Rome, right, in the next one. So and that'll be next year already because it was supposed to be 2020, so they pushed it off a year. So I think that comes next year already. And if I was a rich man, I would buy tickets and I'd go to Rome and watch that thing in person. But I'm a radio guy, and as you know, that means we watch on TV.
But we get to discuss it. We get to break it down after.
Yep.
And that's what makes our job fun.
That's fun, for sure.
News director, sports director, Minnesota News Network, Mike Grimm, of course, the voice of a...
Trying to get me a pay raise so I can go.
I always do that. When I say Minnesota News Network, I put, I'm trying my best. I always try my best for you, buddy. Voice of Gopher football and voice of Gopher men's basketball. We'll hear from Mike coming up on Saturday when the Gophers take on Purdue. And, of course, he'll join us next Monday here on KATE Radio. Mike, like always, thank you so much for the time. Always a lot of fun. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Aaron.